Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity, joined with co-hosts Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Hello, guys.
Good evening.
How are we doing tonight, Bill?
Oh, fine, thank you. It's been a little warm here the last few days. We didn't have much of an earlier summer, but now it looks like it's continuing on longer than usual now, so we're making up for it.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good. Yeah, I had a nice, peaceful weekend, and just, just seeking the Lord every moment, just listening for His voice in the midst of the chaos.
And audience, what we're going to do tonight is just cover two short studies is an introduction to the study of Joel. And in our ongoing thousand-year reign, Gog-Magog identifications through the scriptures, we'll be covering some various scriptures that point to the fulfillment of the Joel studies. First, we'll start with current events. Chris?
Yeah, it's, hard to say what's happening with all the disinformation out there. I'll grit my teeth today through the anniversary of 9/11, and you just hear all the false pride that's out there everywhere, for the fallen that they honor and all that, and not to minimize at all those precious lives that were lost that day, but the whole fable surrounding the event that the masses have bought into just breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. But you just feel like, what more can you say? If you don't get it now, but just accept it and move on. And I had a chance to dialogue a little bit about it. It's a way to talk about the controlled media and the propaganda, but I see looks like Obama's going after Social Security, going to pretty much gut that to keep this derivative bubble floating for a little while longer. Who knows what they're doing? It's just all bad. They're just milking the system for everything that it's got, and it's hard to believe he's doing it now, with this close to the election. But it's just he's just following orders, and I just really do see him setting up this Christian right for the, to take the pendulum swing back to the hard right. And I really believe when that happens, I think it's going to be when the real Antichrist, as in another Christ religious system, really basically takes complete control. And, it's all forming right now with the move of the Vatican to set up camp in Jerusalem again, and all these movements are all happening in one, in that direction, all with one thing in mind. It's consolidation, you know, setting aside our differences, all worshiping the same God mentality, which is the corruption of the covenant that we have seen and been warned about. So there will be no one standing before the Lord without excuse.
Amen. Bill?
Yeah, I don't know which way, you know. It appears to me that they have to go to Christian right, but I don't know. It's crazy out there. It's just totally crazy.
Yeah, the more you try to figure it out, sometimes the harder it gets, because you never know. There's, you know, what kind of a curveball is coming.
And that was told, audience. This is the you're looking at the application of Scripture in your generation, and you're finding that the churches are apostate, and that it is now a global basis for everything that's happening. The economics in Europe are affecting the United States and vice versa. The money changers, so to speak, are in the temple, and they're dealing with the multitude of people. And the metaphor for doves as the multitude of people that are being merchandised. You just have to turn on your TV and you'll see an ad somewhere along the line for "Listen to My Truth, Listen to My DVD, and I'll Explain Scripture." Whereas the Lord tells you to study yourself approved and understand what's happening in your generation and do the will of the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ and in looking at things, we see that Scripture is being fulfilled. Chris, would you say, in terms of your Joel study, that you have the understanding of the apostate great falling away has happened, and it's almost done?
Amen. Yeah, you know, we can't imagine this swarm of locusts getting any worse. But it's, you know, we had a discussion about that in the pre-show. And we just can't imagine the deception getting any worse. But, you know, we just are committed to putting out the truth today and, you know, trusting the Lord to you know, make it clear to us his timing. You know, we're not to set dates or anything like that. And, like, I agree with you, Bob. We study this, show ourselves approved, and then share what the Lord shows us, and that's all we do. And I'll trust the Lord to get out the information that he would have us get out as we do see this Joel's army, as it's been coined, is actually the army out of the north, the deception. It's the fifth trumpet judgment that's upon the land. The swarm of locusts that have come out of the bottomless pit is the false doctrine that has taken control of the Christian church. And it's nothing but Scripture fulfilled, as men love not the truth. So God sends them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie and be damned. Harsh, brutal. But these are the people that don't consider the goodness and severity of God. Because, you know, when we abide in the vine, we are, you know, in Jesus' Sabbath rest. And we are walking in covenant. But when we go on to perdition, we're cut off. We're cut off of the vine. And this is the pattern over and over in Scripture.
Yeah, the church fails to teach that second half there, don't they?
They do. Because of this false grace gospel where they have corrupted the covenant of obedience with a lukewarm gospel. That is not the gospel.
And actually what that is doing, it's being migrated, a migration into universalism.
Right.
To where they even take it a step further now that, oh, it doesn't really matter. All gods are the same, and we many roads to heaven. And God, that, you know, that's the direction that it's moving in.
It sure is. And it's all moving to one place, Jerusalem.
Yep.
The little horn.
And if you're a new audience, the application of these scriptures are based on the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ, which the apostate church has actually overturned and turned into 34, 40, 50,000 different denominations, which was foretold in Scripture. And the prophets are still teaching today. They taught in their life, and they're still teaching today. And we want to go back just to review that the prophet of the Lord in the Old Testament, there was a mandate for that prophet that if the prophet gave a false prophecy, that he was dragged into the center of town and stoned. And that carried on to our Lord Jesus Christ when they were going to stone the woman. And his admonishment to her, because he stopped the stoning. And his admonishment, the saying of our Lord was, sin no more and go. And she went on to preach this gospel, the word of God. Now, all of these apostate teachers should be dragged into the center of town and stoned, but spiritually, they are the plague that is upon the land. They are the locust. They are God's judgment on his people. It's not our judgment, it's the word of God. And during this time, just so you can lay scripture upon scripture, do you know there's a plague upon the land, and that is for the word, the hearing of the word of God, the scriptures. And in a realistic sense, to go to this local store and see if you can find a Bible, a King James Version Bible. The diminishment of the word, the word of God, the famine on the land, and the famine is because of the locust army. Is that a good synopsis, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
So as we can,
they come in and stripped every green thing away that there is.
Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and thy bands, and many people with thee. This is the swarm of locusts.
Now let me tell you what the swarm of locusts did in Japan, audience. They built 5-6 nuclear reactors on a fault line. And the inhabitants of Japan are going to suffer for the consequences not only of their leadership, but they don't follow the lamb wherever he goeth. They follow follies of men.
They follow follies of men. Absolutely. Jesus Christ was basically rejected in Japan. They're one of the most, I think I've mentioned this before, as far as, you know, some countries are very strict about laws on religion, such as China and different places in the world. Japan is actually the complete opposite. They're probably one of the, if not the most liberal. And yes, there are remnant Christians in Japan. I'm not going to say that. But basically, Christ has been rejected there. And what I find strange is Charles Darwin has been embraced.
And we go to the four corners of the earth now, audience. We go to Europe. In Europe, the follies of men, the six, so to speak, of running governments and doing things has led to the great apostasy of Europe, and the money changers are in the banking industry. And the disparity is the people are rising up in the streets into madness, which was foretold in this time. So if you're getting the trampling of the outer court from the four corners of the earth, we've got two corners. You go to the Gulf of Mexico, and the people are being poisoned. And the fish of the ocean are dying, which is on a layer of scripture. You have the fish of the ocean being man in judgment and divided and put into vessels, and the rest all bad. Good vessels, bad vessels. Goat, lambs. Idle shepherds are abounding in this generation. And if you apply the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you apply them with the proper rendering of scriptures, you find out your generation. But you'll never find this without the repentance and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And doing His will in covenant. And we can't say enough for that. Get your house in order today. If all of these things scripturally are coming out in this generation, then prepare your house for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bill?
Amen. Yeah, you need your Ephesians armor on, you know. The full Ephesian armor, you know. You can't just put on one little piece of it. And that's what, people have a tendency to do is maybe put on one piece of the Ephesian armor. You need the full armor of God. And you need to stand fast in the gate and stand for the truth of the gospel. Anything else is fruitless.
And you can understand the Ephesians 6 is not only the Ephesians 6 armor itself, audience, but the rod and the staff.
Yes.
You have a whole arsenal at your disposal through the metaphoric language of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His prophets, to identify His teachings, His judgment. Everything in your life that's going on is centered upon our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word in terms of being armed in the Spirit. Bill, that would be a covering?
Absolutely, yes.
So now you're an example of this covering, audience. Is it's not only the Ephesians 6 armor, but it's the armor of light, the armor of God.
Yes.
And that's built on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And being lively stones into the wall, that's on the inner court, audience, not on the outer court. Chris, could we say that it's honestly happening, that the outer court is being trampled?
Yeah, as we speak, this is what's happening. We're, you know, everywhere we go, you know, the forums on the internet, the TV pastors, the pastors in the churches that aren't warning against this army of the north are all, you know, the Gentiles trampling down the multitude in the outer court. And, you know, we're just, it's a process of separation. It's the harvest. It's the outer court is really the threshing floor. As the wheat is separated from the chaff, and it's a painful process, as the refining fires of the tribulation are at work right now. None of us know for sure where we're at. You know, we speculate that all the time. There's one you can really see an argument for this thing's almost over with. It could happen any day. It could be over. This could be all deception. All spiritual rendering, and the masses are missing it. I'm tending to believe that these spiritual manifestations of these prophecies will, gravitate towards the physical, and that as these winds of tribulation that are blowing now in the house of God, in the fact that the house of God is under judgment, and that since the people today don't love the truth enough to do whatever it takes to get it. They're sent this strong delusion, but I'm of the mind that there are still remnant left that haven't seen the abomination that's taking place yet, but they will, as the Lord pricks their heart, as these words go forth. You know, these words of truth spread from the east to the west. You know, the ears that are there to hear them respond. And that's what this is all about. This is what's happening right now. It's the period of separation that the Lord is separating out His flock.
And we, early on in our, a year ago, audience, we basically said, come out of the churches. because the doctrine is doctrines of demons. And study yourself approved. And don't listen to us on these studies. Study yourself approved to understand these studies. Because we're admonished not only to come out of her, being the harlot church, but come out of Babylon, come out of spiritual Egypt, come out of the world. Don't mingle with the world. And the examples are the, right now, you could say out of Babylon are the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, the magicians, and the astrologers. And they're all identified as a terror. The terrors are running the show right now. And everything you watch on TV and everything you read outside the gospel is just the terrors running the show, and now they're turning black. They're ready for harvest. And one man taken, one man left is not the rendering of the apostate church. It's the opposite. It's been preached upside down. You don't want to be gathered and taken away and burned. And in studying...
No, that's all over Scripture.
All over Scripture, audience. They don't want you to know this. You have to go scripturally from what our Lord said. Luke 16:26. And besides all this, between us and you, between us and you, audience, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. That would come from that gap. We can't go back. Now that fixed gulf, that's hell, audience. And the preachers of old that were still in the gospel were preaching hell and brimstone. And that's not a bad preaching right now.
Well, that's not love, though, is it, Bob?
It is love.
That's kind of hate speech, isn't it?
They're making it hate speech.
Yeah, of course, right.
It's love to tell you, audience, to study yourself approved so you're not on the fixed gulf, so you're not praying that you're there for a drink of water. Because you're not going to get it. It's the famine on the land. And all around you, from our identification, gentlemen, would indicate that all around the people that are in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, they are surrounded by terrors.
Yep. Jerusalem is encompassed with armies.
You, audience, where you're standing, where you're sitting right now, you are on holy ground. You are the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You are the temple of God. And everyone around you is trying to take that real estate. And you're standing there with our Lord Jesus Christ in the armor of light. And they're not.
That's right.
Are we to judge who's not?
No. We don't pull up tears.
We just put out the truth and let the Lord do the work.
Put out the truth, right.
And that's the best we can do, audience.
They don't want you to know is that, you know, the devil is after every single soul on planet Earth. And they kind of turn that into, don't worry about this guy. You can kind of ignore him, and you don't pay attention to him. And
he's on your shoulder.
What an absolute lie that is. Absolute lie.
When it's the opposite, audience, you're to be prepared as the holy temple of the Lord to do his will. And his will is not the will of the world around you. And we don't know what the will of the Father is in your life. But seek ye him.
What did Peter say? He said that the devil's like a... I'm just remembering off the top of my head that he's like a roaring lion seeking to devour what he can or who he can.
Right.
And they're telling you the absolute opposite in church now. It's really not an issue. We don't need to speak about hell, and we don't need to speak... Evidently, that devil has changed a lot since Peter spoke that, I guess.
Yeah, like I say, I didn't get the memo where that changed.
And
we're admonished to, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. You know, we studied to show ourselves approved, and the Lord has definitely made it clear of the fiery darts of the devil and all of his intricate schemes, his cunningly devised fables, the deception. You know, the Lord has made it more than clear to those with ears to hear and eyes to see the inner workings of this massive deception that is on the land. This is who Satan is. He's the deceiver, and that's his tool, is deception. He can't create anything. All he can do is twist and distort and lie about the beauty of what God has created. He twists and distorts it. And this is what we, you know, we're admonished to have eyes to see.
And audience, we're told what is going on. And we're told exactly what they're preparing to deceive you. In Psalms 57:6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they, audience, they are fallen. They've prepared a pit where they're already fallen, and I'm in the truth. I'm not going to go in that pit. They're already fallen in that pit. And we're admonished is that my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And that fixed audience is fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ to do his will and not be mingled with the earthly teaching of the flesh of the apostate church or anyone. And that's studying yourself approved so you understand this. This fixed golf is bad, audience. It's as bad as you can get in terms of you're in your generation, you study the Bible, and then you see the absolute proper renderings of scriptures tell you that everything's not good. And as the outward fleshly manifestations of how this world is condemned through economics on a global basis, Bill, we could say economically, we could say religiously, and I believe you had another category for this.
Well, the three forces that drive the world, which Satan owns the kingdoms of the world, so you know, you could say the three forces that drive Satan's kingdoms. There's the leaven of Herod, that's political, the whole political system. The leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, that's the two factions of the religious system. And then there's the economic system, the money changers. That drives the entire world. And they're so tightly interlocked now and dependent upon each other.
The difference, audience, is that this didn't happen 80 years ago. This didn't happen 60 years ago. It may have been...
With advanced communications now sets up global instant transfer of cash or bank funds around the world, you know, global information. They are, as far as controlled news media, they can put it on in a flash and send it anywhere.
You can pay your tithe at the corporate harlot church with a debit card and get an instant tax deductible receipt.
There you go. Now, common sense tells you.
And show it to St. Peter at the gate.
Yes, common sense tells you, audience, that 50 years ago you had to mail a letter. It took at least 3 days, 4 days, 6 days, 10 days, 2 weeks to go around the world. Now it's instantaneous, and that gives you a description of the prince and power of the air.
Absolutely. Not only that, not to change the subject very quickly, but I just heard that the post office now is seated there. They figured they were going to lose $9 billion this year, but they wound up losing $10
billion
with their fiscal year ending at the September 30th. So,
all misspent
money. More good news for the economy.
And I just want to interject. I forgot this earlier when Chris was covering the 9/11 audience. I want you to think very clearly about this scenario. I want you to take an aluminum can and throw it at a garage. And see how much damage it does to the garage. And even if you put gasoline or jet fuel in that can and threw it at that garage, it's not going to make a dent in the garage. Now, you take the proper scientific approach to this, and you throw that can at a steel I-beam and see how much damage that does to the I-beam. Nothing. And you're to believe that a plane took down a skyscraper. A plane made of aluminum. And then the other building, nothing hit it and it came down.
No, it was the reflection of the plane. It was just like that one magic bullet that hit three people when Kennedy was assassinated. It's like this is the magic plane, I guess. You know, if anybody's believing this stuff, if you're still getting your news from the major news media, you haven't woke up anyway. But it's really an insult to anybody that has any amount of intelligence whatsoever. You're absolutely right, Bob.
Yeah, the way the official story has changed so many times. And, it's truly the bottomless pit. It's just a never-ending web.
What exactly took place, I don't know, but I do know that they were brought down, obviously, through demolition. I've seen enough demolition buildings go down. I've seen a couple in Las Vegas go down. It was exactly the same thing, exactly the same way.
In any natural disaster you see, audience, you're going to see buildings floating down the river. You're going to see them all over the acreage that is around them, but not in the top real estate of New York. It comes straight down, so you could just bulldoze it out of the way and put another one up. Straight down. Now, these fallacies, these fables, these lies, they are spreading so fast that people are deceived. It's something so simple that theoretically couldn't happen.
And there's never been a steel building in the world, in the entire history of the world, that ever burnt down, ever. Not one. Prior to that.
Well, we have to realize that the condition of the minds of the masses today is so, their ability to question has been so attacked by the brainwashing.
That's true. How many decades of free public education does it take to get them to this point?
Yeah, about this many.
And here's another example, audience. An interesting thing happened to me in regards to my dog. My dog just can't be around other dogs, and we're trying to work him through this, but he's just having a very terrible time. So the veterinarian recommends a psychotropic drug, and I come to find it's the same thing they're giving children, that they're giving to the dogs.
Pharma.
That's how bad this world is right now. Pharmakia.
Yeah.
Be aware of pharmakia. Well, we covered that, audience. So as our old shows are transcending through the scripture, we're coming to definitive answers from just studying. And they're absolutely, gentlemen, not the answers we want.
Well, the medical system and the church system work in the same way. The medical system depends on keeping the people sick. And the church system depends on keeping people in their sin, keeping people dependent on their fleshly answers to keep coming back.
Which is a spiritual sickness.
Yeah, and if the church would be the church and lead people to the living God, and they would be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, they would be made free, and they would be free of this bondage, this captivity that they're in. But we see that the Babylonian church is, reference to captivity, the Babylonian captivity, and this is what's happening today, as the deceived multitude are captives in the Babylonian church, and that's why we're called out to be set free from this captivity. And what sets you free? The truth. The truth is what makes you free. And so it's the deception, the lies that are keeping the masses captive. And, you know, we're here proclaiming the truth to those who have ears to hear.
And when we look at this as a whole audience, it's very, very telling that the number one movie in the United States in the past month was a movie about the sorcerers, Harry Potter, Chris?
Yeah, witchcraft.
And the lead character in Harry Potter has a mark on his forehead and nobody gets it. Because the witches and the warlocks, there isn't a good one among them. They're all bad. And death and hell follow them. Yet that is what the number one movie in the freest country in the world is.
Beware when they call good evil and evil good.
And we look through the scriptures and find that people that are searching on the internet for the truth, they're not going to be able to find it. It's very few that if you put in Christian website or Jesus website and you go to that website that you're going to find anything that's the truth. Because they're all based on fables and movements. And you look from the scriptures out into the world and you see there's 34,000 different denominations in the world based on Christendom. And if you sat in any of those congregations and compared scripture upon scripture to what they're teaching, you won't find Jesus in those churches. They're not preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified. They're preaching the diminishment of the Word and the diminishment of the Lord on the cross for our salvation. Chris?
Amen, buddy. It's just such a sad scenario. But I'm still of the mind that it's just going to, as it just gets worse and worse, that there will be a breaking point, that something will give, and is it going to be physical? It's, you know, it sure looks like it. It sure looks like there's something on the horizon. But, you know, we just don't know. We don't know what's going to when it happen. We do have ideas, and we do know that the sun and the moon and the stars will lose their light. And we also know that there's a physical rendering of the sun, moon, and the stars, and there's a spiritual. And when we hear that scenario, you know, the sun is the gospel that's darkened by these locusts, and the moon is the church that has lost its, that doesn't reflect the light anymore. It doesn't reflect the sun because the sun's blocked out. And then we have the stars in the sky, which are the Christians, you know, and we understand that this is a metaphor. You know, the Lord speaks in similitudes to His prophets and or through His prophets. And this is the pure language that the Lord prophesied would be spoken in the last days, the metaphoric language and the spiritual overlay.
And let me interject, Bill, the leaven of the Pharisees.
You know, I think Jesus spoke about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees a couple times, but he also spoke once, if I'm not mistaken, John chapter 6 or 7, beware of the leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees.
Ah.
And, you know, to me, I equate that right to Matthew 13:33.
Amen.
Amen.
A little of the bad doctrine, leaven, is mixed with the three measures of meal, the full measure of meal becomes completely leavened by that little leaven of false doctrine that grows.
Right, yeah, I kind of look at that as the three measures of meal as being the pure gospel. And then you start to put a little bit of leavened doctrine into that gospel. But, you know, that's kind of how I see it overall.
And audience, will go back to the the study of Luke 16:26. And what you find is this gulf, this fixed, Okay, so you're fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel, studying yourself approved. And that fixed side with Abraham in the bosom of Abraham means in various applications, and this is figuratively and literally, to abide, to appoint, to bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold up, lay, present, set up, stand. Okay, so you're standing with our Lord Jesus Christ at this fixed gulf, and the other side is everybody else that's in the apostasy. And what we're going through in the Joel study is how this apostasy is recognized as the plagues upon the land of the locust, with these lying deceptions, the magicians, the serpents, the scorpions, the soothsayers out of the north, coming upon all the inhabitants of the earth spiritually. And the leaven of the Pharisees spreading the false doctrine, they've changed the ordinances. And you can only see this if you study yourself approved and use the ensamples, examples, analogies, and parables given by our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to tell you what's going on in your generation. So as we start out our study of Joel, Ezekiel 38:11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Chris?
Are you kidding me?
The land of unwalled villages in Ezekiel 38 is the apostate church. And Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know, here we see a clear metaphoric understanding in this most important part of Ezekiel chapter 38. And, you know, this is the heart of the false doctrine that is used in the apostate church today to justify this, reestablishment of Israel and what's going to happen to Israel in the last days. But this is from people who fail to realize who Israel is. They fail to realize that Israel is the church, that they are Israel, and that the church is the land of unwalled villages because there's no protection. The apostate church has lost the protection of the wall surrounding, Jerusalem. The true wall that's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the prophets.
The chief cornerstone audience.
Because the army has climbed upon the walls. And
the hedge around the vineyard too that's supposed to produce the good wine.
Right.
You know, when the hedge comes down, the vineyard gets destroyed.
I'll go back to the parable of the sower audience. This is the continuing story of the seed and the tares, the wheat and the tares in the field. And on a greater level, you're seeing that the great falling away is so far advanced that we really can't, it's live now. This is prophecy live. And the plague of Joel is happening. And on the in the outside world, Joel's army is a good thing for people. And this is part of the diminishment of the word. And when we continue on, Ezekiel 38:12. To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, we see direct correlation here to the cattle and the goods. This is the multitude. You know, this is the apostate in the church. And this is what's happened. You know, God has sent this judgment upon them. And, you know, these are the multitude that are gathered out of the nations. And, you know, the spoil and the prey is them, is the multitude and their goods. And, this is the, you know, the, you see this in Revelation, you know, the, a third part of the grass and, and all the trees, you know, this is what this is referring to. But we also see a huge rendering of this profound truth in John chapter 2 verse 14 when Jesus went into the temple and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting. And this is all metaphors for the multitude in the church, the oxen, the sheep, the doves. These are the identities of the multitude that are deceived, sitting in these harlot churches. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. And here we see a clear account of the tribulation. We see the overthrowing of the tables. Well, this is a type and shadow of the tribulation, the third day, the last overturning. It says in Ezekiel, I will overturn thee. And this is the three accounts of three times that God passed judgment: Sodom and Gomorrah, the Red Sea, and the one that's still left is the third woe, the three woes in Revelation, and it's the tribulation. This is what this is an account of. And what do we see here? A prophecy that the disciples brought forth. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That's from Psalms. Psalm 69, 7, 8, 9. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien to my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. So here we have the zeal is the jealousy that is come upon the house and the house of God, and God is making an analogy here where this is a type and shadow of Jesus when David proclaimed this, and it's also a type and shadow of us in the last days, you know, the remnant that are out speaking the truth, who are strangers to our brethren, you know, that are the object of reproach. Shame has covered my face. You know, we are taking the shame for this apostasy of the church. We're the ones that are being ostracized for daring to speak about this condition of the harlot church system today. And this is nothing new, because this is the way it's always been. All the men of God have always had the same situation as we are bearing the reproach of the house. It says, what does it say? It says, the reproaches of them that are reproached are fallen upon me. You know, we're taking the reproach that should be on them. But, you know, we see in Scripture that this is reconciled. The Lord does make this right. And he's busily about that right now, as he truly is calling out his remnant from this harlot religious system and, preparing for his coming, which we believe is, at hand.
And we find if you drill down on the money changers audience, they are the shearers. They pull off the covering of the lamb. Acts 8:32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. That would be Pilate. So opened he not his mouth, a prophecy fulfilled about our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren. Now he left the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Chencha for he had a vow. And that shorn audience, that's to shear. 1 Corinthians 11:6. For if the woman be not covered, in that woman audience, you have to understand the identification. Let her also be shorn, so the example is to be cut her hair off, but if it be a shame for a woman to be have her head shaved or shaven, let her be covered. And what is that covering? That's cover holy, that is veil, cover, hide. So shearing is not a good thing, audience, through Scripture. Bill?
Yeah, I didn't quite follow you right there at the end when you said sharing is not a good thing according to Scripture.
Well, the woman is not covered in okay. in Paul.
I wasn't questioning it, by the way. I was just trying to
understand. It's just coming out right now.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm doing this, I just mentioned it, just from the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
His shearer, but that's just drilling down on the money changers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an identification on another layer of Scripture that's applied, audience. Because I never knew what the money changers were; they were just bad. And they're bad in our generation. And when they tell you to buy their DVD or change to their radio station or buy their new wellness promise of good things, they're leading you away from the Word of God. And what they've done is change the ordinances. And with the Word of God, there are no ordinances changed. Every jot and every tittle is the same.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Chris?
Amen, brother. Yeah, these identities of these merchants are just all through Scripture. And what's the merchandise? It's you. You know, it's the people. It's the multitude. And it's just not good at all. But this, you know, Ezekiel 38:13, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish. You know, we see all the identities here with the young lions thereof. You know, this is this army from the north. It's going to come and take a spoil. They take a prey. Carry away silver and gold. You know, there's the multitude right there. The two witnesses. There's the identity right there, silver and gold. Take away cattle and goods. Take a great spoil. I mean, this is the captivity that the multitude is being carried away into.
Yeah. And it's also a good verse, audience, to study Scripture, because young lions thereof, young lions, shall say unto thee. Well, lions don't say unto thee anything. They roar. They're in Africa. They're in the zoos. So they don't say anything unto you. So you need to use that ensample, that analogy, to find out what are these serpents and scorpions likened unto? Because there's a transition, and they're likened unto young lions. And if you've ever seen a lion in person, a lion is a killing machine that will rip and tear you to shreds and think nothing of it. Chris?
Amen. And with vain words and through covetousness and with feigned words they will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and your damnation slumbereth not. This is the fate of the merchandisers. And then Revelation 13:17, and no man might buy or sell, save he have the mark, or the name of the beast, and the number of his name. While this verse of Scripture is so twisted and distorted, but this is teaching us that you can't be merchandise in the harlot system unless you have the mark, or the mark is the multitude being merchandised in the harlot church, serpents and scorpions that are the money changers, merchandising the flock. This is what the mark of the beast is teaching, and it's the same thing that Ezekiel is teaching, the merchandise. And we are called out of this system. We don't want to be a part of this system. This system who the nations are waxed rich in her, you know, in her glory, because it's coming down. You know, Babylon has fallen, and this is all about one thing. It's all about the destruction of Babylon, the church. The church is Babylon, and the church has fallen. It's the great falling away, and the Lord is about the business of reconciling this turning to other gods, because God is a jealous God. And the zeal of the house that we talked about in Psalms and in John, this is what it's talking about. It's talking about the Lord is about ready to make things right. We are in the time of His mercy. We're still in the time of His grace, that before He pours out His wrath, you know, it's His desire that none should perish. And He's giving that last, the last souls the opportunity to repent and return to the husband of thy youth and return to the Lord. Because this is what the pattern is always. It's coming to the Lord. Many are called, few are chosen, even fewer remain faithful, endure to the end. But the pattern from Genesis to Revelation is salvation and apostasy, and a portion is returned, a portion is restored, and we are in the final. I cannot imagine this whole cycle running again. I think I am set in my heart that this is it. This is the big one, and that we're in the final days of the opportunity to repent and come to the Lord, because Scripture is clear. There's a time when no man can work, when the gospel message will no longer work, and that the workers of the field will be no longer be able to work, because the plumb line is set, and God will pass by again no more. And it says that clearly over and over in Scripture, that when the time comes, it's over. And I wouldn't want to push my luck in that area right now at all.
Now, audience, early. I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No, I'm done. Go ahead, Bob.
I just wanted to interject to add from Bill. Bill, this is when we first started studying together, we found it was a cyclic cycle. So there would be a cycle throughout history as this was ongoing, but never on a world basis. Hmm. And I wanted you to see if you could just give a little synopsis in terms of the four horses of the apocalypse, and the identification of the kingdoms, and the cycles that went on, and then now we're coming to an end.
Yeah, the Catholic Church probably, even though they were split with the Eastern Orthodox Catholic, they ruled in Europe with the Ten Kings. I guess Europe basically became Christianized completely by the year 1000 AD, probably. And then that kingdom shifted a few hundred years later to Imperial Spain. And then Great Britain was able to control maybe 25% of the world at very best. But we've never been to a point, where we are now, where the world has just been reduced down in size, communication-wise, resource-wise. The world is so much smaller than it was 150 years ago. And that's the big key. We've never reached this point in time ever before. And I do agree with Chris. This is about, I can't see another run after this one.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's anything more solid, in my mind, is the pale horse, the whole four horsemen and the four beasts are so clearly in their final run here, because we see the pale horse is absolutely in control right now. And it's so clear what happens to the pale horse, whose rider is death and hell. It's the pale horse, the sixth trumpet, the martyring, and it's over. The second coming, and it's upon us. This thing is a powder keg, and it's absolutely manifest in the spirit. Is that we can't imagine it getting any worse, but as these spiritual, the activity in the spirit realm, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, well, that makes its way to the physical, as the spiritual and the physical work hand in hand, the celestial and the terrestrial. You know, we're doing these synopsis end time studies, and in part two, I go into that. And it's pretty neat, pretty important to understand, because you know, the problem today is the church is basically trying to interpret scripture in the flesh, as always. You know, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You know, it's the same pattern all over and over. The way that man is always trying to keep things in the flesh, well, because Satan is that's where Satan wants to keep men. They don't want to keep men in the spirit. You know, in communion with the Lord, you know, they want to keep their minds on the flesh, and that's what we have today. And this is what Babylon is. Babylon is the flesh. It's everything right. Flesh, everything that's not born again.
Everything that's not really born again and consumed by the Spirit of God is the two parts cut off, really.
That's exactly right.
So we could take an example, gentlemen, and say, okay, now that
he says, by the way, the third part left therein. What? It's such a big, that's what's left over, whatever is consumed by the Spirit of God. In Zechariah 13.
You mean left behind? Is that what's left behind?
How they got that one wrong is beyond me, but, you know, I guess it just is, they wouldn't want to change script in the middle of the boat. I mean, they have everything else wrong. Why would they not have that wrong, too?
And it's, if you study the Gospels, you'll see through the fleshly manifestation of the current Middle East country of Israel. You will see that Israel, on a fleshly basis, is not the Israel of God. They are of the flesh. And just in that, and by all, who are we to condemn anybody? We preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified. They don't. Now, what's going on over there is the best man can do. The best man can do is that they're going to have a huge war in the Middle East. But remember, you're under the prince and power of the air now. It wasn't true 60 years ago. It's true now. This is happening to the inhabitants of the earth. There's a transition from Israel, and Israel's fighting with its neighbors, or in the Old Testament, taking the land back for the Lord. The battles with the heathen nations, the battles of Joshua, now transcended into our current generation, and the battle at the gate is for your mind. And the outer court is the flesh, and the flesh is being trampled all over the globe. When we're admonished that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, well, there's never been more wars at any time in history of the world. And there's more coming.
And the most significant war of all is this Gog-Magog war that is warring in the flesh, right? I mean, in the spirit right now. This is what we see. The Gog-Magog war is the war internally in the church when the Lord uses the two parts apostate to come against His multitude to restore them. And this is raging as we speak, this power of the north. You know, it's the, therefore, Son of Man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou know it, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army, and thou shalt come against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes, happening right now, as the the
Absolutely.
Apostate church is looking for the physical manifestation of this. The northern parts is the deception that's on the land. It's what does it say? It says that it's a cloud has covered the land. And this is happening in the latter days. Right now, as we speak.
Absolutely. You know, in verse 15, it says, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the northern parts. That's the serpents right there. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And then many people with thee, and all of them riding upon horses. That's the scorpions. That's what the serpents are going to be riding upon. The serpents are, the scorpions always do the heavy work.
Amen. Absolutely, Bill. That's an absolute accurate rendering of that piece of scripture there. And who are these? These are the false prophets. These are the men standing behind the pulpits of the corner church.
And it's happening now. This is not prophesying for tomorrow or it's going to happen next week when this person gets into office or your mayor does this or this or this. This is on the inhabitants of the earth now. The great falling away is come to an end almost. Joel's army, the plagues of locusts are upon the land now. And where should you be, audience? You should be standing with our Lord Jesus Christ. You should be crossing the Jordan. All of these analogies are to fix you as a holy vessel. To repent of your sins. To enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. To petition the Lord. Because the Lord is fighting your battle if you see this. And he's not going to let you be deceived by them that are changing the ordinance of his word. And you're going to be nourished by the Lord himself in this. You're armed in the spirit for this. All by being fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ and not mingled with man and man's doctrine. Bill?
Absolutely. Pray and count that ye be worthy to escape all things.
And who are these? It says in Isaiah, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They can't bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Well, I mean, who are these? Who are these watchmen? I mean, they're either the ones that are spewing these lies, or they're the ones that aren't warning about these lies.
They're sleeping. But, even Jesus came by to warn his disciples from sleeping, you know, because the tares were going to show up soon in the Garden of Gethsemane there. But, you know, if you have a good watchdog, a German Shepherd or something, watchdog, he's going to bark and give you an alarm that there's, prowlers and, thieves coming in the night.
Yeah, and that's what the watchman on the wall is supposed to do.
Yeah, but
the Lord can't even bark,
it says.
Yeah, it can't even bark. But the Lord gives us signatures, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Example, one of the big false doctrines on the scene today is the Seven Mountain Dominion Theology. Well, those who study Scripture know who sits on seven mountains. Well, that's the harlot church,
Right.
And then we've got simple things like Joel's Army, and we've got Joel Osteen, and we have Todd Bentley with Joel's Army tattooed to his chest. I mean, these are signs that the Lord gives us, to assure us, that he is with us, because we see clearly this thing is manifesting in real time today. Not 100 years from now. This is happening today. And we see this Joel's Army movement open for business as they are in bed. Excuse my terminology, but I don't know any better way to do it when you're describing a harlot with the religious right, this phony Christian right that is promising, salvation to America to restore us to our
The Christian right has actually now become the leaven of Herod.
Yeah.
And it's the leaven of Herod audience. Herod killed children.
Right. It's the political beast that they're joining with.
To kill our Lord, he killed a great multitude of people.
That's right.
Now, we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3, "And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither ye be terrified because of them." And we talked about that fixed gulf in them, audience. "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." So if you have some quandary about, hey, you're going to go out there and you're going to save everybody and you're going to do this, you're going to have fleshly expectations, you need to understand the proper rendering of this scripture for you, because you are a circumcised-hearted Jew, male or female. It doesn't, if you're in Christ, flesh, no flesh is good, and you're told to fear not and do not tremble, but you will fear the truth. But when you know the truth, that's where the fear and the trembling stop, because you won't be terrified. You'll know them. You'll know they're of the Lord. And you'll know that the Lord your God is he that goeth with you in this battle. And he goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now the enemies, audience, are them that don't preach Jesus Christ. And they're taking your money and your tithes, and they've turned everything into abomination. And we say, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Chris?
Amen, brother. Where else are we going to go, Lord? You have the words of life. You know, this is our cry. As, you know, we navigate with you folks out there in these perilous times. But there is joy. There's peace. There's serenity in God's Sabbath rest. Because as disturbing as all this information is, and in knowing how many of our loved ones are tangled in this web, we just have to take comfort in the Lord and lay it on him, because his desire is for none to perish, as well as it is for us, for these people that are caught in this snare, to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be restored, to come back to the bride of their youth. And there's a group that does return, that is restored. And this apostasy, this army from the north, is the actual vehicle that does it. Because, I see that as this deception gets more entangled and more obvious, that I believe that the harvest will continue as it is underway now. You know, it's just every couple of days I have a new friend ask me to, befriend me on Facebook. You know, we get somebody new, subscribing to the Watchman blog. You know, the word's getting out. The word's going out. And we're just encouraging all you, the listeners, to just keep doing the same. Just keep putting out the truth. You don't know whose heart you're pricking. You know, who is going to respond later to what you said.
Just
I'm looking for the day when a lot of people do come back and say, Chris, I see what you're talking about now. I was missing it, but now I see. And, that's the day I look for, always. And, and that's what I have, for tonight. And I just, want to thank you guys, Bob and Bill, and for your diligence and all the listeners as they support us. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. And, hope everybody has a great week.
Brother Bill?
I didn't realize we were that close to closing time here. I would just say, go forth and proclaim this gospel. Don't hold it back. if you hold the gospel back and you give only a part of the gospel, or you give a watered down portion of the gospel, that's not love. The true love is giving the truth of the gospel. You got to wax bold like Paul did, or wax bold like Barnabas, and just give the truth of the gospel. And then to let the Holy Spirit be the one that pricks their heart.
Amen.
Amen. And I, audience, we, one of the problems with doing this show, I would say, is that it's woe unto us, the greater damnation.
By the way, they removed that from the New Bibles, I believe, Bob.
The woe unto us or the greater damnation?
I hadn't checked it out for myself, but I have no reason to doubt it. I was going to go and check it out, that they removed the greater damnation. Which doesn't surprise me.
Well, it is awful offensive, Bill. It's not relevant.
Oh,
sorry. Excuse my sarcasm, but that's the key. That's the buzzword in the Harlot Church, is we want to make Jesus relevant to your life, so you come. You know, so you come to church, and anyway, we can make Jesus relevant.
Just real quickly, it was Matthew 16. I was in error earlier about the doctrine. They were trying to explain to him that Jesus. They said we didn't bring any bread with us, and. Just to make a long story shorter here, I'll go to verse 12. Then they understood that how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread. He says, we're not talking about bread here, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Yeah.
And it is, they've changed the ordinances, audience. And when we talk about the coming to you in these studies, it's just a remarkable tale of our Lord Jesus Christ and the multitude of people in the world that are not in covenant. And we point you to Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. He will have you be the holy temple of Him. This is a hard gospel to preach. And common sense tells you on one level that, you know, the scriptures and this and that, you know, as a man looks at it, you'd never see this. But the spiritual renderings.
I want to say real quickly here, because I took the time to pull it up. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. This is when he woed them eight times in Matthew chapter 23. For he devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Boy, we see that everywhere. Therefore he shall receive the greater damnation. The whole verse has been removed by God's World's Translation, by the New Living Translation, by the English Standard Version, by the NIV Version. They've completely omitted the verse. It's been omitted in the Darby Translation. It's been omitted in the English Revised Version. That's a huge verse of Scripture there.
It's unbelievable.
And just in case anybody's wondering about these New Age Bibles.
It's no wonder we're at where we are today.
And we find, audience, that it always, at some level, goes back to your faith. John 20:27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.
Sun's up, looks okay. The world survives into another day, and I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. About a lion's at the door. They weren't half as frightening as they were before, but I'm thinking about eternity. Some kind of ecstasy got a hold on me. Walls, windows, trees, waves coming through. You being me and I'll be you together in eternity.